I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. In a week that has brought us endless seeming amounts of bad news, here's one more. The most promising of the HIV vaccines has gone down in total failure. Here's the statement from the National Institutes of Health. The National Institutes of Health has stopped administration of vaccinations in its HVTN-702 clinical trial of an investigational HIV vaccine. This action was taken because an independent data and safety monitoring board found during an interim review that the regimen did not prevent HIV. The Phase 2b/3 study began in 2016. The trials were supposed to run until 2022, but it wasn't going anywhere. It's a failure. It doesn't work. There are other candidates, and research continues for what is so desperately needed, a vaccine for HIV. We do now have treatments that keep people from dying who have HIV, and that's very, very important, but it is still just a stopgap. We need a vaccine, and this is a pretty big setback. Here's something I've experienced. I find that having sex with women who are just kind of sloppily drunk, their inhibitions may be down a little bit, but they're still sloppily drunk, and I don't find that very appealing. However, plus there can be issues of consent. I have had sex with many more women who have used marijuana to reduce their inhibitions, and I really didn't find that as problematic as I find alcohol. But that's not a scientific observation, that's just a personal observation. But now science says, well, yeah, I'm probably right. The new study was published in the Journal of Health Economics. It was done by Georgia State University, working with the University of Connecticut. And they analyzed how sexual behavior changes in states that introduced medical cannabis. Now, there are states that have medical cannabis, and there are states that have cannabis. And the difference between the two is less dishonesty, because when California had just medical cannabis, it was ridiculously easy. You just had to go into a doctor, pay your money, and these doctors in their little offices were probably making a killing writing prescriptions for cannabis, but at the same time, at least maybe they weren't out there killing their patients, because, man, some of them looked pretty discreditable. So basically you went in and said, man, I have this hangnail. The only thing that helps me with this gosh darn hangnail is marijuana. And the doctor said, well, here you go. So the paper is titled Sex, Marijuana, and Baby Booms, and they found that not only does the amount of sex people have increase in states that have legalized marijuana, so do birth rates, and gonorrhea. But I'm suspecting that the gonorrhea and the birth rates going up, there are cofactors such as a lack of good sex education. I don't think it's all just disinhibition. That needs to be looked at more closely. I mean, it could be, but I don't think they showed that here, because the effect they're showing is pretty small. They say it's significant, but it's still a relatively small effect. But I can definitely believe that there is more sex going on. Look, for women especially, and I haven't really had sex with men to have as much experience, but I've had a lot of sex with women who have used marijuana, and besides it being a disinhibitor, they've told me that they have better orgasms with it. Well, if your orgasms are better, you're going to want to have more sex. And the science kind of seems to show that, especially with women. There seems to be a growing body of evidence that shows that THC and maybe CBD can increase vaginal and clitoral blood flow. That's a good thing. What that means is, yes, marijuana really can literally make sex better. And if you are having better sex, you're going to want to have it more often. But here's the problem with all studies like this, is teasing out the actual effect from all of the noise is pretty difficult, maybe even impossible. You know, certainly, if you believe that smoking marijuana is going to give you better sex, the placebo effect alone is probably enough to make that sex seem better. It could be just your belief that it's going to be easier helps reduce some of your anxiety. But still, I think the bottom line is, if you feel the need to use something to make it easier for you to have sex and to make you feel more comfortable in your own skin and to reduce your anxiety and the guilt society places on you for having sexual desire in the first place, clearly marijuana is a better option than alcohol. And I think that's pretty clear, even if this study, isn't all that definitive. You know, it seems like we're in the age of allergic reactions to things. I mean, really didn't have the peanut thing when I was a kid, and now it seems it's all over the place with the peanut allergies. But here's an allergy that's, boy, about as bad an allergy as I can imagine. 25-year-old man, we don't know his name, which I think is good for everybody, turns out to be allergic to his own semen. When he orgasms, he gets flu-like symptoms, including anxiety, brain fog, and fatigue. And these effects can last for weeks. The case study was published in Urology Case Reports. So this guy can't even masturbate without getting sick for a couple of weeks. As bizarre as this sounds, it has a name. It's called post-orgasm illness syndrome. The good news is it's relatively rare. But for the few men who suffer from it, you can get severe fatigue, nasal congestion, burning eyes, irritability, concentration difficulties, depressed mood, a flu-like state of malaise. And typically, the symptoms last from 1 to 7 days, but, you know, as this other guy, it can be even longer. But that's really rare. And, of course, as someone myself with a rare condition, going to doctors doesn't help you much, because doctors don't know about rare conditions. And they'll do the same thing that they did to me when I was first trying to get diagnosed. They just go, you need to go to a psychiatrist. Yeah, this has a psychiatric component. Because I worked at home, I took a number of friends to the doctor when they needed it, usually female friends, and so I could see how doctors treat women. And it's basically, if I don't know what it is, it's in your head. And then they're convinced. They're done. They don't want to look any further. I've seen this with my own eyes time and time again. It's very depressing. And it turned out, in all of those cases, that the women I was with and myself, we all had very serious conditions. Doctors just said, I don't know what that is, so it's got to be in your head. So as awful as this condition is, the chances of getting diagnosed in a timely manner, pretty low. It does seem like there's virtually nothing a man won't stick his penis into. But the truth is, not everything should have your penis in it. And there is a new, thing trending with bananas. Or more accurately, you eat the banana first, and then you use the peel. The eating the banana part, that's good for you. The using the banana peel as a masturbation sleeve, that's not so good for you. First of all, people who are allergic to latex are probably also allergic to banana skins, which is weird. I know, this sounds like a joke, especially the part about the guy in this. I'm kind of skeptical that this is true, but one of the examples that's been used by people who write about this is the guy who masturbated on a banana peel, dropped it, slipped on the banana peel, hit his head on the toilet. I'm almost willing to bet that that's an apocryphal story, but, you know, guys do such dumb things, it could be true. But true or not, doesn't matter. Masturbating into a banana skin is unhygienic. It can lead to sores and infections, and of course there's that allergy risk. So don't do it. And while we're at it, let's list some other really stupid things that seem to be going around lately. Don't do these things. Tobacco inserted into your vagina does not increase your sex drive. Do not do a cucumber cleanse of your vagina. Don't do it. There's also a garlic vagina trend. But all that will do is protect your vagina from vampires. Don't insert metal balls into your urethra. Very bad. You can die from it. And do not, and I swear to God, people really do this, do not put wasp nests into your vagina. Okay, it's more specifically the oak galls, which are formed by gall wasps. So it's not like you're putting in a nest filled with wasps, although I imagine at some point in time somebody probably did that too. But this is stuff that doesn't belong in the vagina. It's going to dry you up. I guess that makes you think you're tighter, but no, that's not good at all. And it screws up the bacteria in your vagina. Our favorite gynecologist, Dr. Jen Gunter, had this to say. And I think it's pretty much true. She said, here's a pro tip. If something burns when you apply it to the vagina, it is generally bad for the vagina. Then there's this, herbal tampons. These are bags with herbs like motherwort and rhizoma and borneol and angelica. No, don't put that in your vagina either. Unless it was intentionally designed to go in your vagina, you probably shouldn't put it there.